Route 616, your home for all things Marvel main continuity. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to this episode 67 of Route 616. Here with both these chuckle fucks, Dan and Bill.
Hey, how's it going? Just a second. I'm going to try to do something with my window so I'm not quite so in the dark despite having all the lights on in here.
Podcast in the dark is kind of our thing, so.
There we go. Now I might actually be able to be seen.
Except we're actually recording early today.
Damn Woo-hoo. It, Bill, now we can see you.
Yeah, if I have to suffer with this face, so do you.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. How you guys doing?
Well, that's been a
Not
week.
Not too bad.
Monsternado was definitely worth the time, just so you know.
I mean, with a name like that, how could it not be?
Yeah, oh, it was horrifically terrible one. Oh, it made Sharknado look like an Oscar contender. It was just that good. So that goes on my list to recommend it.
Oh, absolutely.
Not surprised, not surprised.
On the subject of horrifically awful films, I understand Rob Zombie made some Halloween movies.
Oh, God, no, please, no. No, no! The horror. Okay. Oh, he muted himself. That's no fun.
Anyways.
Anyway. Yeah. So, do we have anything beyond the obvious to talk about? Like, say, Onana, the banana, and his brilliant performance against Dalatasaray there, you know? Maybe?
That was a disaster.
That was embarrassing.
Yeah, I will say, though, as a neutral, that was probably one of the best football matches to watch.
You guys played really well, all except your goaltender.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm not that disappointed about it because I wasn't expecting anything out of the Champions League this year. I said last year when we qualified that we weren't ready.
Yeah, well, guess what? You were right. It was pretty bad.
Funny how that goes.
Yeah. The fact that we looked like a competent football team. Excluding one particular member who we will not name.
Yeah.
Counts for a lot because it's one of the first times I've had that experience this year.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. You play Newcastle this week too, I think, don't you? Or something like that. So.
We're off till next Wednesday.
Oh, are you?
That's yeah, we don't have anything this weekend.
Oh. Lucky you.
Not really. It means I have to wait a week to watch football.
Yeah. But, you know, that's Man U fan. That's not necessarily a bad thing.
I was going to say,
with the performances we're having this year, that might be a good thing. Because I've enjoyed exactly two football matches so far this year that we've played. And we only won one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're in December now. So Christmas is coming up. So I got to. At some point, watch Violent Night. It's become my favorite Christmas movie.
They're doing a new one now, eh?
Yeah. I saw previews for another Christmas movie.
They have a Thanksgiving slasher film and a Christmas slasher film coming out in the next couple of weeks.
Yay.
The Thanksgiving one looks truly horrible.
I think that's already out. Thanksgiving.
I think it could be.
Yeah, I think it was releasing for actual Thanksgiving in the States.
Yeah. Yeah. Because
I heard it was really bad.
Oh, yeah. I've seen the previews. It was really bad.
Yeah. Did we expect anything else?
No.
But.
And I don't think the Christmas one's going to be any better.
Yeah. But. No, I think the movie event everybody's waiting for right now is Godzilla Minus One.
I'm just waiting to see what the Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey creator, what his lineup's gonna look like. He already wanted to do a bloody Bambi, I think it was, or something.
Bloody Bambi?
Something like that.
That gimmick does not have legs.
he's going to use it for all it's worth.
Cool Blood and Honey have legs. I mean, come on.
Yeah, he's going to keep pushing it.
Yeah.
But the novelty only works once.
I still haven't watched it, but it doesn't even...
Don't. Knowing about it is better than actually seeing it.
Yeah, it doesn't even seem like a fun watch.
It's not even so bad it's good. It's just a bad slasher film.
Yeah.
Literally all it has going for it is the loose ties to Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, the novelty of the concept is really, you know, what if Christopher Robin had, in fact, just forgotten about Winnie and all the rest of them and walked away when he grew up, you know. And when you say the concept was strong, I thought at the time when I heard the idea, I thought, well, you know, that could be amusing, right? And if he'd had the budget and a better script, I think it probably would have been a good movie.
Yeah, the better script is the big thing, because there's basically no tie back to that concept once they start going.
Yeah.
It just turns into a slasher film with a guy wearing a bear mask and a guy wearing a pig mask.
Yeah.
Because they don't really lean into them actually being Winnie and Piglet.
No, but like you say, the idea was unique.
Yeah, it could have been interesting if a smarter person had done it.
Yeah. Yeah. If it had been animated, that would have been even better.
That would be the way to do it without getting a good budget.
Yeah.
You could ape the Winnie the Pooh art style.
Yeah. Yeah, although Disney would have lost their shit on you, but, you know.
Can't copyright art style.
I suppose. Thank God for that.
I mean, Disney still would have probably tried to shoot him into the ground and probably succeeded, not because Disney was right, but because Disney could afford more lawyers than some small struggling studio that's doing an independent Winnie the Pooh horror movie.
Yeah. Yeah. But, no, it would have been fun. If they'd put a little more time and effort into it, I think it would have been a good movie. It would have been a laugh. Yeah. Wow. We are just so chatty today.
Well, you guys noticed, but hasn't come up on the podcast. Okay. I also watched The Marvels, and I agree with Dan. It was completely fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's a movie.
Yeah, it's a superhero movie. I didn't mind spending a couple hours watching it. Have no desire to see it again.
Yeah, but it was nowhere near as bad as some people are making it out to say. Like, you know, it's... I've seen a lot worse.
They stretched one joke too long, and that was really the only complaint I have about it. The part about the singing culture, they stretched that too long. It got tiring.
It did get a little tiring, but after the travesty that was Thor, Love and Blunder, I was prepared for something like that.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those things that was funny for one joke, but they kept it going for 5 minutes.
Yeah. No, I was kind of braced for some sort of, you know, out of context, out of the norm thing to happen.
Yeah, the only thing that saved that scene was Kamala.
Well, she was
fucking hilarious, being so excited about it.
Oh yeah, she. She was, the actress did a great job. I thought
she really did.
She was a blessing in disguise for them, because
that whole family was great.
Yeah, there was
the
a lot
scene
of
where they were switching in and out in the living room, and the parents were yelling at everyone was hilarious.
Yeah, you know, there were some funny moments that were, you know, genuinely good, and most of them were centered around Ms. Marvel.
Oh, absolutely.
Right, yeah, like I say, it was a movie. It was not as anywhere near as horrifically bad as people said it was. It was just not memorable. It's not something I would go back and watch a second time, but I don't regret seeing it.
Yeah, it's fun, but if you don't see it, you're not missing anything unless they decide to tie this story into 14 different stories coming off it in an MCU.
Yeah, it would have been good to have gotten some background from watching all the just this tedious lineup of TV shows, but
yeah, I was definitely felt the absence of
context.
WandaVision in it.
Yeah. I had some context because I did suffer through WandaVision and a couple of the others, but even that didn't help a lot because they've laid out such a broad sort of play mat to work with that you can't connect all the dots sometimes. So, but yeah, it could have been worse.
Yeah, it could have been Thor or Quantumania.
Oh, yeah, let's not get started on that.
I guess on semi-recent Marvel stuff, I'm up to date on the I Am Groot show now, so it's pretty fun. Okay. They're just short little episodes, nothing hard. It's just turn your brain off and have some fun type deal.
Well, it's literally a children's show, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah. They're just shorts.
Like, not being derogatory about it. It's actually targeted at children.
They're only like 4 to 7 minutes long or whatever.
Excuse me. Well,
I was wondering how you blew through that series so fast, but I was assuming the episodes were half an hour.
No, yeah, they're only like 4 minutes each. The longest one is like 5 or 7 or something.
So basically they're a YouTube commercial.
Yeah, they're just a short, like, children's film.
Like a comic book. Speaking of comic books.
Some of those are way too long.
Yeah, hopefully not today.
No, today
everything's... I think our longest stuff today is 12 pages.
This is probably going to be the shortest episode we have in a while. Okay. Speaking of...
Let's hit it.
Yeah, Strange Tales number 142, A Story. Who Strikes That Shield? Stan Lee writing this one. Jack Kirby on art. Mike Esposito on inks. Jack Kirby and Joe Sinnott on cover art. Hardy Simic on letters. December 1965 release date. 12-page story. And Dan can take us away with this one.
Bada bing, bada boom. Okay, here's your synopsis, people. Watching from S.H.I.E.L.D., Fury and the other agents are able to see Mentallo team up with the Fixer. As S.H.I.E.L.D. prepares their defenses, the Fixer and Mentallo, sounds like something you'd spread on a slice of bread, prepare to attack from underground.
It would be mint-flavored for sure.
Ooh, Mentallo. The Fixer mentions that he's been assisted in his fantastic constructions by them, but refuses to elaborate. The two manage to make their way through S.H.I.E.L.D. and are able to incapacitate Fury and his men. Attaching an electronic mask on Fury's face, the Fixer reveals that Nick Fury is now theirs to command. To be continued. Bum, bum, bum. That was exciting. I give that a 5.
I mean, this is solid 2. This wasn't that good.
Mind control? Mind control?
I don't like these villains. This is a bad step after Hydra.
Yeah. It's a rough step on Hydra. The them thing is interesting. This is like the first real crossover storyline they've done. Because Batroc in Captain America also worked for them.
Yeah, that's why we had to read Captain America last week before this.
I gave it a 3. I wasn't as bothered by these villains as you were. They were pretty generic, but they weren't bad. We'll get to bad villains, but these weren't it.
Well, I don't agree, but okay. Let's move on to Strange Tales 143A Story, which is titled To Free a Brain Slave. Stanley Wright and Jack Kirby on art with Howard Purcell. Mike Esposito on inks. Jack Kirby, Frank Giacola on cover art. Erdy Simic on letters. January 1966, Happy New Year. And 12-page story.
Yeah, let's just skip over the horrifyingly bad cover. And go right to the snow.
They've been bad for the story.
Oh, yeah, horrible.
Because it's more remarkable when we get a good cover so far, honestly.
Yeah. So, To Free a Brain Slave. While SHIELD HQ is in the hands of Mentallo and the Fixer, and Fury a helpless prisoner, Dum Dum and his men prepare to strike back. Tony Stank takes command as the Technos prepare his neutralizer. The ESP division are unable to pick up any trace of Fury's thoughts. The baddies attach a miniature H-bomb to Fury's wrists.
Ooh. That's what our cover is. It looks exactly like that in the comic.
Cool, cool. So they attach a miniature dildo to Fury's wrist, then remove the mind control mask. Big mistake. As Fury...
Let's be clear. That's not a miniature dildo. That is a butt plug, and you know it.
Okay, fine. It's a butt plug. As Fury immediately begins thinking of an old war song which acts as the go signal. After a burning chemical forces the baddies to remove their protective helmets, they come under attack by the ESP division. While Fury holds out, Stark's neutralizer dissolves the H-bomb. Well, that's not good. Mentallo and the Fixer fight to escape but are quickly captured. With the help of SHIELD's metronome unit, good timing, it's revealed that the ESP... Sorry.
That was a good one. I can't even be mad.
It's revealed that the ESP attack has destroyed Mentallo's powers and that... that Fury was wearing a mental transmitter to contact them. But elsewhere, a jet takes off from the helicarrier, but is quickly shot down by a frying golden egg. Oh, flying golden egg.
Yeah, sure. We're bringing in the bad villain now.
Yeah, Chicken Little?
That would be better.
Yeah.
That would unironically be better.
Yeah. Wow, that was absolutely pointless.
Yeah, this one's a two.
Gave us the slickest Dan joke in a while, though, so that was nice.
They commit the cardinal sin of storytelling, which is hiding stuff from the audience so you can do a big reveal later.
Funnily enough, I enjoyed this one more. I gave this one a three.
Yeah, I didn't like this one because, like, the whole plan had been planned out and then hidden in between, so all of a sudden she's like, oh, he had this mental neutralizer on his brain the entire time and he was playing along to get caught, but we got no hints of it at all, so it's just, it feels like they thought of it between issues and were just like, how do we get out of him? I know, he had a neutralizer on his head that they didn't see when they put a fucking helmet on him.
I mean, none of this makes any sense. They trapped themselves in a... They wrote themselves to a corner from the get-go, so this was going to be a whole ton of bullshit to get out of it.
Yeah, they did.
I just liked Fury's characterization.
See, I had a bit of an issue with it because he was wondering why he was... More so this time than the first time through, because he was wondering why he was snapping at everyone. And the first time around, or having now read Sergeant Fury, he's been like that since 1942. It's not new. Suddenly out of character angry.
Right. Moving rapidly on from that disaster of a story.
There is one more thing I want to mention before we move on, because they did do one thing I liked.
What?
I really liked while Fury was captured, Tony Stark leading the assault. Specifically because it was Tony Stark doing it, not Iron Man.
Okay.
That was nice to see Tony actually doing something on his own. I know they're the same person, but like...
You do realize Tony is Iron Man, right?
Yes, but he's doing it as Tony. He's not falling back on the crutch.
Just in case you were wondering. So when Iron Man is leading the charge, it's still Tony.
Just I hate you so much.
I know. It's the bread that feeds my hatred.
Christ.
Gives me life.
That's how you've lived forever.
Yeah, I mean, the more you get, the better, I suppose.
Your hatred just keeps me young.
You call this young?
I'm still alive, aren't I?
He doesn't look like the H-bomb.
That's true. Clap your hands. Boom.
Oh, shit.
Let's go to the next one now.
Strange Tales 144 A Story. This one is titled The Day of the Druid, with noticeably the worst rating so far on the site. Stanley rates this one. Jack Kirby
for Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., I've seen worse ratings on the site. We've covered worst ratings on the site.
Yes, I just mean in the ones we're covering today.
Yeah.
Howard Purcell backs up a Jack Kirby again. Mike Esposito on inks. Mike Esposito and Jack Kirby on the cover. Sam Rosen on letters this time. February 1966 release date, 12-page story. And here comes the druid. Strap in. A mysterious villain called the druid, using mystic rites to disguise modern sinister science, sends an ever-deadly flying egg to kill Nick Fury. Meanwhile, at the crash site of the downed jet, Fury races through the fire to shut down the plane's nuclear reactor before it can explode and take out half the countryside. Which I thought was kind of fun.
So far we're doing all right.
Duggan refuses to enter the mobile fallout shelter and waits for Fury. On the road in his Porsche 904, Fury and Duggan are attacked by the egg. The car dodges...
He's throwing eggs at him? This guy's a yoke.
The car dodges a flamethrower.
Should have quit while you were ahead with the metronome joke.
Yeah, you were doing so well.
I know.
You just sabotaged
yourself. I tried.
The car dodges a flamethrower, strikes back with a borer bomb, then falls victim to plastic self-forming tank traps. As the car flips over, its air sacs activate. Then Fury uses its jet fans to fly away and land safely. The pair finally use the grenade guns to take out the offensive omelet. The offensive omelet. Back at the S.H.I.E.L.D. barbershop, clean-cut new recruit.
Was Jasper that actually in the reviewer, you being clever?
No, that was in their fucking synopsis. That's why I'm nice. Laughing. I didn't...
Takeesh or not Takeesh?
Back at the S.H.I.E.L.D. barbershop, clean-cut new recruit Jasper Sitwell has a hard time convincing the barber he's really a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. You may know Jasper Sitwell as that bald bitch in the MCU.
Or as an actual really good character in future Iron Man stories.
Yeah.
Because Nick immediately foists him off on Tony.
He's pretty good in the next issue, but here it's just
he's terrible.
Yeah.
Because he's supposed to be like top of his class and he has no idea about statecraft. Like spycraft. He's just openly stating that he's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent and like trying to show S.H.I.E.L.D. files and stuff to people that are S.H.I.E.L.D. agents but could actually just be a random barber.
This one wasn't good. This was a 2.
Yeah, this was a definite 2. They had potential to do something interesting here.
It had a strong start.
Yeah, if the druid was actually a druid and used magic, they could have done something interesting because it would have really differentiated it from everything that S.H.I.E.L.D. has faced so far in these comics. Just because they've all been tech-based villain groups. So another tech-based villain group, this time just with supernatural trappings, isn't interesting.
It's pretty much they're facing a cult. This is pretty much a cult. It's one step away from being a cult.
Yeah, but they don't even really go into the cult thing.
No, they kind of tease it and then they go away from that too.
Yeah, even if they had just leaned into it being a cult, it would have been different and interesting.
They
should've. But this is just Hydra with a different stupid costume.
Yeah, that's what it ends up being. Which is a shame, because it could have been more. But anyways. Yeah. That's that one done. Pretty disappointing.
It really was, actually.
Yeah, this one actually struggled to get a 2 from me.
Well, let's keep the times rolling.
Train going.
Strange Tales 145 A Story, the last Nick Fury's S.H.I.E.L.D. we have today. This one's titled Load, the Eggshell Hatch. Fuck, I hate this shit. This is written by Stan Lee, Steve Ditko, and Jack Kirby on the art, which I didn't even realize, but that's cool. Mike Esposito on
it. It's not Ditko. That's a mistake.
Yeah, I was wondering, because I don't remember Ditko art. Okay, there we go. Dick Geyers and Jack Kirby then. Mike Esposito on inks. Jack Kirby and Mike Esposito on the cover. Sam Rosen and Artie Simic apparently both letter in this issue. March 1966 release date. 12-page story. And I will also take this one. I gave myself the worst ones this week.
Yeah, I believe it was also just Sam lettering. I think they accidentally spliced in some of the credits for
Doctor Strange. Yeah, that doesn't shock me then. S.H.I.E.L.D. sends out a squad of Fury LMDs and hopes they can be used to track down who's trying to kill Fury. Duggan can't understand why Fury wants to work with Sitwell, then badgers Jasper until Fury compares them to Laurel and Hardy.
I'm surprised, actually, I'm going to say it right now, that this didn't get essential noting, because this is the first appearance of LMDs.
They were mentioned to be getting created before, but I think this is the first time they're shown in full
fashion. Yeah, this is the first time we actually encountered them.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty big deal.
They were mentioned very early on.
Wait, no, I think they did use them very early in the first episode. I think they sent a couple out that Hydra immediately killed.
Yeah, that might have happened.
Then they just presented it as the first time again here, but I think I remembered them earlier.
Fury also wonders when Gabe will return from his vacation. Me too, Gabe's that guy. The Druid's eggs have been destroying LMDs, but he decides to draw Fury out into the open, as once Fury's dead, his cult can spread across America. This is when they kind of tease it being a cult, but they don't do anything
with it, though.
The Humpty Dumpties.
Yeah, all the men gathered and put them together again. Fury questions the Fixer about the eggs and the miniature brain found on him. The Fixer seems sure the eggs are not connected with them, and also says he was captured before them could give him his final orders. S.H.I.E.L.D. arrives at the site of an exploded egg, which turns out to be a trap. No way. Fury takes on the Druid one-on-one, worried that I'm about to make Dan go one-on-one with the Undertaker, keeps it up. Anyway, worried that his men will be targeted if he fails. Sitwell manages to drive a fleet of armored eggs from Haydn, and all hell breaks loose. The Druid brags that his main HQ has not been found, and Sitwell offers to uncover the Druid's true identity. Fury finds himself wondering just how ambitious Sitwell is, and how he feels if they try to replace them with a younger man. And that's that.
Yeah. I think the big problem with these two little mini Fury arcs is that they were two. They should have done one 4-issue arc with something.
Well, the first one was 3, and this one was 2, because we had the first part of it before. It was the epilogue slash first part.
Yeah, I don't really count the first one as part of it. It was like a transitionary issue.
It was pretty much an epilogue for the first
arc. Yeah, but I think either one of these stories could have been all right if they were 4 issues long, and they had time to actually develop some of the ideas they had. But especially the Druid stuff was just so rushed. Like, they had all these egg war machines break out, and then they're destroyed, like, a page later.
Yeah.
There was some potential in the ideas that they just didn't use.
I want to like this one. And this one has tinges of something there. But they just throw it away, don't do anything with it.
Well, if they're shooting eggs at people, isn't that, like, shelling them?
And honestly, I think Jasper Sitwell kind of stole the show for me in this one. I found
Sitwell
him fun
was great
in
here.
This one.
This is where he started to actually become a good character.
Like, they kind of start nailing what Jasper Sitwell should be right away with this one.
Because he's still annoying and eager, but he's not stupid anymore.
But it adds something that S.H.I.E.L.D. didn't have.
Before S.H.I.E.L.D. was just the Howlers reskinned.
Exactly.
And with more random goons to throw into meat grinders. to raise the stakes and stuff.
The howlers that they decided they wanted to have go forward.
No, I think the rest of the howlers come into it later.
Possibly, I don't know.
Like, they have howlers I haven't even encountered yet in the story. Like some German guy whose name I forget.
Yeah, they do add more people later, that's true. I've looked ahead.
Yeah, I think every surviving howler actually works for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Probably. But, anyways, let's move on.
I think S.H.I.E.L.D. gets better after this.
Oh, I hope so.
Once they start advancing the ideas of the mechanics of them.
But you work that in there. Anyways, fuck me. Let's move on and start this big Doctor Strange arc we got going on. As we go with the Strange Tales number 130 B story, titled The Defeat of Doctor Strange, which he's losing already, and this is the start of the big arc. That's pretty wild. Stan Lee writing, of course, Steve Ditko on art, Jack Kirby, Chick Stone did the cover for this one. This is the issue that on the other side of Fins, we got the Beatles.
And holy shit, flipping through that to get to this sure made me appreciate the art in that last Strange story I went through. Yeah, or, not Strange, Fury story I went through.
Yeah. Artie Simic on letters. December 1964 release date. That's how far back this arc's going now. 10-page story. And this is for Bill to take away.
Alright. Dormammu sends Baron Mordo and his minions to attack the Ancient One, who is injured in the initial confrontation, and Doctor Strange is forced to leave his side to find a way to defeat those attackers and cure his master of his illness. That didn't need to all be one sentence.
What if it did, though?
Mordo, meanwhile, sends out a message to all evil mystics to help hunt down and destroy Doctor Strange. Traveling to Hong Kong, Doctor Strange seeks the aid of a friend to get a new passport and a change of clothes. However, Strange is still found by agents of Mordo, whom he manages to incapacitate before slipping away into the night. Yes, that is the entire summary of that story.
Because one does not simply walk into Mordo.
Why are you here again?
The comic relief.
If you intended that, that was your new best pun of the night.
I didn't intend it, but now that now that you've said
now you're running with it though.
Oh, I'm so gonna run with that. Wow.
Fucking hell. Yeah. Oh, this has been an episode for sure.
This story was better than it sounds in the summary.
Well,
I hope so.
No, it genuinely was. This is actually a really good start to this big arc that they're going into. I actually gave this one a 4. That's how good I thought it was. So.
Okay, you liked it more than me. I only gave it
really
a 3.
I really liked this. I was also very ready for some Doctor Strange, so that might help.
Rob Zombie's Halloween. So we take
Doctor Strange is about to get kicking on it. Yeah, it's about to get Strange and about to get rolling.
This whole arc is actually decent. A couple of sections overstayed or welcome by like an issue. Yeah. But overall, it's pretty good.
Yeah, no, it's a really good arc we're entering, and I thought this was a strong start to it. But that's just
I really like the start.
I'm definitely overinflating.
I didn't think it was 4-star worthy. It was just a good, solid comic.
Well, let's move on to
it. Some good world building for Doctor Strange's world, though.
It did. And the idea of the two big bads working together is
yeah, good. Mordo's work, I don't remember if it was revealed in the first or second part, but Dormammu's giving Mordo power because he promised not to attack Strange on Earth. He didn't promise to not give someone else power to attack Strange.
Yeah, and it's in the details, folks.
I enjoyed his being a dick about his agreement.
Yeah, you gotta read the small... Fucking, you gotta read the small letter in the contract.
Small print.
Let's move on to the last comic of this episode with Strange Tales number 131 B story titled The Hunter and the Hunted. Stan Lee, Steve Ditko here. Bob Powell and Dick Ayers did this cover, as you can tell by how awful it is. Artie Simic on Letters, January 1965 release date, 10-page story. And let us move on with Bill taking this away.
All right. Doctor Strange is pursued by the minions of Baron Mordo in Hong Kong, narrowly escaping each attack with his own mystical aptitude, trying desperately to make an escape. Defeating all attackers in both human and astral forms, Doctor Strange manages to sneak aboard an airplane and trick Mordo's forces into searching for him elsewhere by disguising his astral form like one of Mordo's minions and tricking the others into going the opposite way of the plane. And that is actually all that happened. This is mostly a fight issue. But it's pretty good. They do a good job of making Strange seem overmatched and actually just, like, barely escaping.
Cool.
Yeah, this one is interesting because on one end, I think this is a weird step to go after how strong the first issue opened, but it also makes sense on the other end. And I do like the kind of action-y escape type story this is trying to be. This was on the verge for me. I did end up giving it a 3, but this was a very interesting one.
Yeah, I gave this a 3 as well. I really liked it because they were trying to do something different. This is, I think, the first time that we've gone more than an issue of a comic book with the hero not being in control. Strange is on the back foot for the entire time, just trying to stay ahead of Mordo.
Strange is on the back foot for a lot of this arc, which is why I think this is a really strong arc.
Feel dangerous instead of just some goon that's going to get beat up in 3 pages.
The villains are written incredibly well in this, or at least the main ones. Yeah. Maybe not some of the side ones that end up coming up, but the main two.
Although some of the side ones actually lead to one of my favorite issues of Doctor Strange I've read, which will come up in a little while.
Yeah.
But spoiler, it's Strange running into something that should not trouble him and actually giving him problems.
Yeah, I mean, there's some different stuff going on in Doctor Strange. It's obvious that Steve Ditko loves this character. Good stuff.
There you go.
And that's our comics for this week.
That was some exciting shit there, guys.
At least we ended on a high note, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you compare it, it's a high note.
Well, we didn't have an egg on our face, so we're good.
Well, so we better run through next week's comics before
Dan
has to bail on us, and then we'll
do our end of the month shit.
Do the end of the month stuff that got missed last time because I forgot it was the end of the month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm a bad host, but it's next week. Next week, it's all Doctor Strange all the time. We get issues 132 through 137B stories for more of this Doctor Strange arc. This arc runs for another 2.5 weeks. So
yeah, I think it's like 15 or 16 issues altogether.
Yeah, it's a long run, so get prepared, folks. Dan's
okay,
like,
okay, yeah,
I'm going to be working the next couple weeks.
I can feel the excitement building. Ooh.
Don't worry, it's not all him just running from goons in Hong Kong.
Yeah, it's only like a third that.
They actually do a lot of different things in this arc.
They do.
Let's hope so. Please.
There is a lot of strange running, but it's different varying levels of running in different places.
Yeah.
And from different things.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Well, gentlemen, that was remarkable. I'm not sure if I'm channeling Statler or Waldorf, but it was short, it was sweet, I loved it. Yeah, you guys have fun with the end of month stuff.
Bid you farewell.
It was the all in.
You take off and feel better.
I'm going to try. See you later, guys.
See ya.
See ya. On that note, we're into our end of the month stuff, and we'll start off with the poll list. I think both of us are just keeping our poll list the same this time, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm not changing anything based on that month of comics.
Yeah, no, there's nothing really to change there. I will say there's some changes coming soon, since I've read ahead some, but we'll stay tuned for that. Possibly as soon as next month, depending on how things fall. but we'll see.
It's based entirely on how you feel about Doctor Strange if it's next month. Because I think that's all we cover.
Yeah, it might be. Besides, I think we get some more of Iron Man or something like that.
Okay, yeah, I could see Iron Man possibly knocking suspense out of there.
I'm actually curious now to look ahead a little bit. It'll be uno, dos, tres. Okay, yeah, no, actually, it probably won't be this month that stuff changes now that I think. But never mind. But it'll be soon enough.
Anyway, I'll give us the rundown on what we covered this month.
Because it's like 6 or 7 weeks worth or something.
Yeah, I ended up pulling the witty little descriptors of them because that's gotten too hard to do once we're into actual arcs where the same story goes on for like 4 or 5 issues.
Yeah.
But we had Amazing Spider-Man number 25, captured by J. Jonah Jameson, which Jonah's shitty robot. Daredevil number 8, The Stilt Man Cometh, self-explanatory. Spider-Man number 26 and 27 with the Goblin and the Crime Master. Daredevil 9, That He May See, that's the one where he goes to Europe to get his vision restored by absolutely not Kmart Doctor Doom. Sergeant Fury and his Howling Commandos 20, The Blitz Squad Strikes. That's the one where the Blitz Squad takes over the castle in Scotland, and it's way too long. Avengers number 18, When the Commissar Commands. That's the shitty Commissar one. Amazing Spider-Man number 28, The Menace of the Molten Man. Sergeant Fury and his Howling Commandos 21, To Free a Hostage. That's the one where they have to go in and... I don't even remember what happened in that one.
What one was it, sorry?
To Free a Hostage, 21. They go to Germany for reasons, but I don't remember what those reasons were.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't remember who the hostage was that they actually had to free. Strange Tales 136 A Story, Find Fury or Die. That's the first modern Fury. Amazing Spider-Man Annual number 2, The Wondrous World of Doctor Strange, when they couldn't decide whose title they should have actually put this in.
Second modern Fury, by the way. 135 is the first one.
Oh, is it? Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is just the one where all the...
It's the barbershop one.
Yeah, this is... I think of that as part of the first one, but the first one ends with the reveal of the helicarrier. Fantastic Four Annual number 3, Bedlam at the Baxter Building. That's the marriage of Reed and Sue.
A big, big one.
Yeah. Then we get X-Men number 14 to 16 with the Sentinels, and then 17 and 18 with Magneto. Strange Tales 137 to 141. This is A Stories. This is all that Big Fury Hydra arc. And then the kind of transition between that and Mentallo.
Yeah.
Tales of Suspense 69. 70 and 71 B Story, which is the Greymoor Castle arc in Captain America, then 72 to 74, the Sleeper arc, and then 75 and 76, the Inferno 42, I think it is, arc with Batroc in Captain America, and that takes us to the end of the month.
Yes, so... Starting off with the worst, since that is the ended on a high note notion. What was yours first?
Daredevil number 8. The Stealth Man.
Okay, fair enough.
9 may have objectively been worse, but the guy was such an obvious ripoff of Doctor Doom that I just found it funny and couldn't make it my least favorite comic.
Funnily enough, I didn't even think of the Stilt Man one, but that was also... There was a lot of contenders, to be fair, for yeah. Worst.
Daredevil and the Commissar Avengers were the only real contenders for me.
I have mine down the 3. And my three are the Daredevil 9 actually is the one I thought of, and we'll get back to that. Amazing Spider-Man Annual 2, and the Avengers Commissar, because holy shit.
I personally would knock off the Spider-Man Annual right away, because that one was just disappointing for not living up to the standards of Spider-Man, but it wasn't that bad.
I mean, I thought it was bad. I hated it more than you did. Eliminating the Daredevil, because at least that one was fun. And I'll give it the bill and eliminate Amazing Spider-Man Annual. So the Avengers is going to take my worst of the month, because fuck that comic.
I mean, that one was pretty shit. When I was doing the recap and realized that I kind of forgot that existed when I picked mine, I was a little pissed at myself. So I'm glad someone ripped it.
It was a brutal read, and it's going to save Spider-Man from being close to the worst.
Yeah.
I really didn't like that Spider-Man Annual, though. I didn't like it,
but mostly that was because I've been spoiled with Spider-Man's being actually good. And so the fact that this was more the standards of a Doctor Strange and a pre-arc we started today, Doctor Strange... But like, I don't think I would have hated it nearly as much if any other character was the title character.
Fair. That was the least favorite. On to the favorite. I think we're gonna have similar favorites.
And here we do get Spider-Man representation.
We sure do.
Because I gave it to Amazing Spider-Man number 26.
Mm-hmm. And I gave it to 27. So we have both parts.
I thought you were gonna pick 27.
I knew this was going to happen.
Because I remember us arguing over which part was the better half.
Yeah, weirdly enough, probably one of our bigger arguments of the
yeah, podcast. And we both liked both halves, but we just disagreed on which one sucked more.
Yeah, which is pretty hilarious that there are representations for best of them all. It was a solid arc.
That arc was the only contender for best I had.
I had the 25 in there as well, and I had, what else did I have?
Actually, I suppose the X-Men Sentinel arc could have gotten it.
Yeah, that could have gotten it. Maybe the Batroc, possibly.
Batroc never got, like, I love Batroc, but that story wasn't a contender versus a full-length Spider-Man.
No, not yet.
12-pagers have a tough hill to climb versus actually good 20-pagers.
Yeah, Spider-Man easily took it, but if we're talking about the next level of stuff...
Yeah. The only other contender could be the wedding of Sue and Reed because of historical significance, and it was fun for the first time to see all the cameos, but man, was that a tough read on the second time through.
Yeah, that is a contender, but at the same time, it's more hype than actually good story.
It's more, I recognize the thing.
It's still fun to read, but it's not like, it's not as...
Spider-Man and X-Men were actually good stories.
Yes, that's the difference. So yeah,
objectively, nothing fucking happened in X-Men, or in
Fantastic Four
Annual.
Yeah, no. So, that was our monthly stuff that we finally got to. And we have talked about what we're covering next week. And the next couple weeks, really, because it's all Doctor Strange.
Yeah. Which is going to make our best and worst the challenge next month.
Yes, because we have to think about a whole fucking story arc of Doctor Strange.
Yeah, and I find arcs tend to be rather flat in my enjoyment. Like, if I like one part, I probably like all of it about the same. But this one's got some other stuff shoved in there that I think will give me options for both best and worst.
Yeah.
Because it's all one arc in that, like, there's an overarching story going on behind it, but it's like three or four little arcs mixed together.
Yeah, it is. But it should make for interesting times. Anyways, we will head out of here now, and we'll hope to gather Dan back for next week, but we'll see. If you're watching this on YouTube, please would like to subscribe, comment, stream, and share if you would like to.
Your favorite sing Google the praises podcast. Of the druid.
Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.
I'm and not letting you pick the worst villain every week. Fuck, you
fucking asshole. If you're on Spotify.
Get me a muffin.
Yeah, if you're on Spotify, click that poll and let us know why you love eggs so much. I had to pull myself back because you stole my shit. So, anyways, we will see you all in the next episode. And peace out.
Have a good one, everyone.